Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guest on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, pet wellness professional Kim Gablin shares helpful advice on celebrating National Dog Month with your beloved pups. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. The month of August, or as we pup lovers call it, Doggist, is jam-packed full of pet holidays. The big one being National Dog Month, with two of my favorites, Clear the Shelters and Spoil Your Dog Day, two special days in a very special month. And with us today is acclaimed pet wellness professional with over 20 years in dog and cat care, Kim Gablin. Hey, Kim, welcome back.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, I am so happy to be with you and to share fun facts and all of these fun things celebrating this month. It's full of holidays, but these two, and I know they're near and dear to your heart too.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, I always want to celebrate dogs. So, I mean, I think that there's nothing more than, you know, being able to appreciate them and take care of them and learn more about them. So I'm all about Doggist.
And we are celebrating Doggist. I just love that. And it does bring three of our most loved events, Clear the Shelter Month, National Dog Month, and my pup's favorite, Spoil Your Dog Day. Mm-hmm. So can you share some information with us about Clear the Shelter Month?
Yeah, you know, I think that you and I would love it if every month was Clear the Shelter Month.
But
the official Clear the Shelter Month is August. And, you know, it was started, this will be the 11th year that NBC Universal Local is helping to get all pets in shelters adopted, which I think is fantastic, right? That there's lots of people out there getting the word out about the benefits of adopting and getting the word out. They have, in the last 10 years, so up till this year, adopted almost 1.2 million pets.
Wow.
Through the shelters that they work on. And so they have actually a website called clearthesheltersdotcom, and they have a zip code locator. So you could even, you know, find a shelter near you that's participating in that. And, you know, they have some great tips for before and after when you adopt as well. So, you know, if there's a shelter near you, great. But, you know, if not, there's probably a lot of shelters and or, you know, pet rescues in your area that also I'm sure would be happy to work with you to find the right pet for you.
What are some important tips for potential pet parents to consider before adopting their forever friends?
Yeah, we know that there's so much to keep in mind. And I always think that, you know, if you've been considering adopting, August is a great month because, you know, especially, you know, I'm in the Northeast, so it's still warm out and there's no snow. So, you know, while you're going through that, you know, those weeks of kind of potty training and kind of getting a routine down, it's a good time to do that. And a lot of people are back from vacation, right? So you don't want to adopt and then leave. But there's really a lot to consider. And I think, Sue, we're always talking about how important it is to think about it, right? This is, you know, you're going to adopt a pet, you know, this dog, and they could be around for 5 years or 10 years or, you know, even if you're lucky, 20 years. And so you really have to kind of think through what will it take. And there's a few things to think about, right? One of them is monetary things, right? So obviously, you know, you'll need to give them food and feed them. There's treat costs, vet visits, the medications they might need, like for flea and tick, for example. And then there's all their little goodies, you know, like their bed and their toys and their leashes. And then, you know, depending on the pet, there may also be grooming involved, right? I've had a lot of Bichons. And so, you know, I'm not really that good at being able to cut them and blow them dry and everything. So it's really kind of important to be able to know that, hey, that might be an expensive thing. Or even if you just want to take them in to get them, you know, groomed every once in a while, get a bath and get their nails clipped and that kind of thing, there's those expenses to think about. And then, of course, you know, you never know when an emergency pops up. You know, secondly, and I think even more importantly, is that of the kind of the emotional and connection considerations, right? Like the time that you need to kind of help them get acclimated. Some pets in the shelter may have had a great life. And you know, some of them may have some emotional scars that need some time to heal again. You know, maybe they lost their owner, right? Their mom or their dad. And so now, you know, they've been in the shelter and that can be a little bit scary. Some of them may have special needs. I know, Sue, you have some experience with that, right? Having adopted some pets with special needs, but they also might not do well in a crate at home alone for at the beginning, or maybe they don't like to be left alone, or maybe there's certain people they don't trust. Like maybe there are men or women that they meet that they feel uncomfortable with. So there's all this kind of extra stuff that you have to think about, especially when you're thinking about a special needs pet, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I have a couple now. Kim, I've known you for so many years. I think I've always had at least a couple in my home, and yes. I have now, but those are the ones, the seniors, and I have seniors and special needs pets are usually sometimes the ones that need to be fostered the most. They all do, but I mean, they need that special care from, you know, sometimes they get stressed. A lot of them, if they're turned in from a senior, they're like, I have three that I have were from a senior, their parent going into like a memory care facility, some sort of housing that didn't allow pets. Or there was, you know, someone passed away. So there's all these things to take into consideration, whether you're adopting a young pet, an old pet, a pet with special needs. So yes, that's very, very important.
Yeah. And you know, and no matter what age they are, you know, whether they're a young dog or an older dog, there's also kind of that time to build that relationship and connect with them, right? It's that socializing and making sure mm-hmm. that they feel comfortable with the people in your orbit, you know, who are around you. There's training and setting those expectations. You know, that's always, I always talk about how that's the most important thing, I think, when you have a relationship with a dog, is setting those expectations and having that relationship and that training so that they know what's expected, having time to exercise them, you know, brush them out, you know, give them a bath, play with them. So, you know, there are those kinds of things to think about, certainly when you're thinking about getting a pet. And those are just the things to think about for you before you decide that you want to go to a shelter and be able to get a pet. And it's funny because, you know, Sue, I don't know if this is a common thing, but before really I was in dog care, and I don't know about you, I felt like, oh, don't you just go to the shelter and find the first dog that you love?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's really hard. I think that, you know, you really need to understand what does the dog need that you're looking at, you know, so you could fall in love with just, you know, an awesome dog. But the problem is they might not fit into your lifestyle. So one of the things I've really learned over the years is how important it is to understand, you know, what do you have? And then what does the dog need? You know, how much exercise do they need? And so do you need to be walking them? You know, are you a couch potato? And you don't want to be walking a dog all the time? Well, then, you know, then you really need to think about that. And, you know, walking into a shelter and having that conversation with them, you know, high quality shelters, there's so many of them out there, and rescues, they will be talking to you about these kinds of things, right? They're going to be asking you. So it's important to kind of prep yourself. Like, are you usually home during the day or are you away? You know, maybe the dog wants to have more companionship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or if you like to travel, or if you do travel a lot, maybe for work or just for fun, you know, can someone care for them? Do you expect that you'll take them with you? You know, would they tolerate that okay? And, you know, maybe what size, you know, would be good. Obviously, bigger dogs eat more food and more treats, right? So that may be a little bit more costly. And so that might be a challenge. So, I mean, some of those things I think are really good. I mean, I've heard people talk about, and some of the shelters talk about kind of the 3-3-3.
Yep.
things to think about. So they say that you need at least 3 days to kind of have your dog decompress and start that initial adjustment with you at home. And that when you're not supposed to introduce anyone new, or you're supposed to keep things very low key and kind of down low. And then, you know, it takes another 3 weeks for them to adapt and kind of start to learn the routine, start to settle in, maybe start a little bit of basic training, right? You're kind of getting to know each other. And then, you know, last but not least, then again, 3 months or so to kind of be socialized, feel trained, feel safe. They need to feel safe, right? I mean, some of them may be coming from a situation where maybe they didn't feel safe or as loved as maybe you can, you know, give them. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to kind of give them that time. I mean, has that gone for you? Have you used that before, Sue?
Well, I have to tell you that works perfectly, because if they're coming out of a shelter situation, as opposed to a lot of times if they're coming out of a rescue situation, they may have already, they're used to a home environment. They may be used to children, multiple pets, other people living in the home. But when they're in the shelter, it's, you know, they're one-on-one with the shelter people that work there. So there's like a different environment there. Then you get a rescue. So this is 3 days like of decompression. You're totally right. And sometimes it may take a little longer. There, you know, it's like bringing a person into your home. Each person has their own personality, and they may think it's great and relax and watch TV, or they may just sit there and go, well, I don't know, what's here for me to do, you know? And they're used to living their life a certain way, and they're going, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. So yeah, so I think that that's perfect, because then they have to settle in, they decompress, and then they kind of learn the routines that goes on in your house, but they have to observe that. So that, and then they, you know, and then they ultimately fit in right in, like we always have other dogs and cats. Mm-hmm. So it's like a pack. So they fit in with the pack.
Yeah, well, and they are very social animals, right? Dogs are social animals.
Yes.
So that,
mm-hmm.
that really kind of makes sense to me. Well, and you know, having that conversation about the history of the dog that you're looking to love and take into your home, with their personality, you know, are they good with kids? You know, so do you have kids? What age group are they good with? Do you have other pets? You know, do they need a small yard or a large yard? All those things are like really important things, right, to kind of keep in mind. For me and my family, my husband and his side of the family, they're all allergic. And my daughter is to some degree, my husband a little bit, but some of them like can't be in the house with a dog that's not hypoallergenic. So, you know, keeping those things in mind really kind of helps you to focus on a dog that, you know, can be with you for a long time and be a part of your family and be a forever pet. And so I think that's, you know, that's really good. And so like I said, I don't think everybody always thinks about those things before they go. And I think it's really important to do that. I also have been seeing, and you know, a lot of places, a lot of shelters have fostering agreements a lot of times. So you could foster a pet and get to know them, or, you know, they sometimes have trials, right? Where you can kind of have a trial
yes.
period. Do you have some experience with that?
Oh,
yeah. Have you done that?
Fostering pets in need is something that's very near and dear to my heart. And John and I, ever since we've been together, we've been fostering pets, some sort of pets, and, you know, mostly dogs, but mm-hmm. we've had birds, we've had turtles, we've had cats, we've had bunnies, but, you know, and then people often say, well, you know, I see that you're doing this, how can I help? What's expected of me? What does this all entail? And I just like kind of say, like as a foster parent, you're providing temporary homes for shelter and rescue pets. And because it's often kind of stressful, as I said earlier, for pets in the shelter, especially their seniors or if they're special needs pets. So by fostering them, you help with their adoption chances by caring for them. And you putting, by bringing them into your home, that you're bringing them into like a positive home environment. And what John and I do is we care for them as we would for our other pets. They sort of blend in. I have a household full of pets. So, you know, I do. Now, if I get an animal who does not, you know, is from a single home family or something, we usually will acclimate them to a home environment. We leave them. We do have a room, like our pet guest room.
Oh,
and they acclimate themselves there. And then, you know, we've shared with the rescue or the shelter, I don't think that this will work out, but we've, you know, taught them basic commands if they didn't know them. They're on a feeding routine, whatever it is. And then that pet is, it goes on to a home, which is, you know, maybe a single person home or a couple with, you know, no children, and the dog can live alone. It's kind of like as they were used to. So it's, you know, I always say, check with your local shelter, check with your rescues. There's always need. They even have like weekend if you want to just take the pet for the weekend. If you want to even just take it out for the day, some of them have programs like that. There's just so much to share about fostering pets that we can do a whole show on it.
But yeah. Well, I know a lot of shelters, like they'll actually have you have to go through training and that kind of thing. Yeah. You know, I have one of the people that I've worked with in my past. I know that recently she's been helping to foster dogs from shelter. And it's been really great to see that. And just the role that she could play in helping them get ready to go to the next household is just really, I mean, can really help, like, to get them out of the shelter, get them out of their shell and help them, you know, feel more comfortable and then be ready to be adopted up, which I think is really great. Or like you said, if it's just a trial period, you know, and you do want to seriously consider taking this pet into your house. I mean, you have to give it a little time and give it a little bit of a break because obviously it's all new, but it's a great way to kind of get to know each other and kind of feel like it's going to be the right fit for both of you.
Absolutely. And we have to remember that when we foster one of these precious little fur kids, these pets, we're actually not only helping them, but like we're helping other animals, because when you take a pet into your home and foster it, that gives the shelter or the rescue room to bring another animal in. So they're actually saving a life because you've taken a pet out so that you could foster it. So it's just like, for me, it's been like a really positive experience. It sounds like your friend had a positive experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, for people out there that are thinking of fostering, it's temporary, but like the impact that you make on the pet's life, for us, sometimes we keep them, we're foster failures, and sometimes we observe and say, you know what, I think that this pet would do better in a home like that, da, 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 da. And you're just like changing that pet's life forever. So in a positive way. So anyone out there who's thinking of it, you know, I'm a big proponent, and I know you are too, Kim, of foster care for pets. So it's very rewarding. And the shelters and the rescues, their help with this is invaluable. They'll give you the specifics on the dog, and they'll help you through the process because you're helping them. So it makes a great partnership.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll even help, right, with like food and with medical support and everything, right?
Some of them have the resources and some of them don't have the resources, but they could provide some supplies, and they do supply some support. And that's why I always say, please donate to your favorite rescue or your favorite shelter, because all of this helps them so that they could get supplies, so that they could help, you know, expand their foster program, so that it helps the animals that are in the shelters or the rescues there. It's just very important. Those, like I said, this is something that's very near and dear to my heart. So
yeah, well, and I know that that's how some of your fur babies have come to you. So
yes,
that's really cool that there's a way to be able to do that and a way to participate if maybe you're not ready to have a dog full time.
Yeah.
I think, which is really kind of cool. Yeah. I also wanted to put, you know, now while we're talking about clearing the shelters, I wanted to put a plug in for if you're considering a second dog. You know, if you have a dog at home and you're thinking, well, do I want to get another dog? That could be really great. You know, I've seen some research from the Dog Aging Project from a couple years ago. It showed that there was evidence that there's more than one dog in the family, that dogs had overall better health outcomes. So, you know, the dogs are social, and while, you know, they'd like to be social with us, obviously, and their family, you know, being social with other dogs also has some added benefits for them, and it helps them to be healthy, and it helps them to live a little bit longer and that kind of thing. They're seeing those kinds of benefits. So I also wanted to put a plug in there that if you're thinking about maybe getting a second dog, there are some good reasons to do that for the dog you have at home.
Absolutely. I'm sitting here in a studio with three dogs.
It's a good life that way, right?
Yes,
that's a good thing. Yeah, and when I think you were telling me the other day about how they take care of each other.
They do. I have two that are special needs. One's in her little area now, and I have two that actually take care of them. They sleep with them. They're in the same bed. When we're outside, they stand near them. So it works out. Watching all this interaction between the animals, just it does my heart so good, because you know how, and I know, Kim, you're like this too, kindness and love, that's what we want the world to, we want the world to go around on that. And when you look at these animals, they bring so much love into your home, and you watch how they interact with the kindness and love for each other, it's like very humbling.
Yeah, I love that. That's you're living proof of that, of what we just talked about. That's really cool. I love that.
Thank you.
Well, and I know, like, maybe, and not everybody maybe can, you know, has time to be able to adopt or has the, you know, the opportunity to be able to adopt right now. So, you know, now is also a great time to be able to show the shelter some love, right? So maybe you can't help them clear the shelter, but there's lots of ways to be able to help out any kind of shelter or rescue near you. And, you know, check out their website. You know, a lot of times they're getting really great about listing what they need online, you know, and you can always call if you don't see anything online. You could always give them a call and ask them if there's something in particular that they're looking for. I've noticed a lot of them are starting to have Amazon wish lists.
Amazon wish lists, yes.
I love that. It makes it so easy. Like, you don't have to leave or whatever. You could just, you can, you know, just put down whatever they need, paper towels or they need dog toys or cat toys or whatever. And then, you know, it get automatically goes to them, which I love. So I think that that's really cool. And, you know, if you have some extra time, you know, shelters also need volunteers. You know, there's lots of different things that they need. Like, you know, you could help with animal care or just, you know, helping them to adopt or work in the office or answering phones. There's fundraising. There's also, you know, don't forget, there's walking and playing with the dogs.
Yes.
Which could be like, you know, maybe you can't have a dog at home, but you could really get involved and be able to do things with them and still get that love and everything without having to have them at home. And certainly, you know, taking pictures even for posting. So there's so many things that you might be able to help them with. It's really great to be able to take a look at their website and be able to help them out as they try to clear the shelters this month. Now's a great time to be able to help support them to do that.
I think that that's really great. So I think what we're going to do is, this is such great information. I think we'll take a quick break. And then when we come back, Kim, let's share some fun tips for National Dog Month and Spoil Your Dog Day. It's going to be fun. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information. Thank you, everyone.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets,
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth, and yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Kim Gablin, pet wellness professional. And Kim, I have to ask you, tell me a little bit about National Dog Month.
Yeah, you know, I love it. This is just really kind of a focus on dogs, right? What you can do to be able to take better care of them, training, you know, kind of celebrating them. So really, it's just a time to be able to kind of focus on them and see how we can kind of bring them some more love and joy in their life.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, also combining a National Dog Month, there's so many pet holidays that fall in that. But, you know, one of them that coincides with it is Spoil Your Pet. And a lot of things that you can do for National Dog Month, you can kind of join in and do for Spoil Your Pet Day. So do you have any suggestions?
Oh, my gosh. I love celebrating. And I'm always looking for like fun little things to do, like something that's a little bit different or whatever. So, you know, again, it's August, right? So summer's still here. We can still bring some more, you know, just pleasure out of that, right? And just enjoy and everything. So I think it's important to, like, first of all, think about the personality of your dog or dogs and kind of what do they like? You know, what do they like and not like? So, you know, do they love to be outside? You know, patio season, right? I mean, there are so many places. I'm always so surprised at how many people, you know, you can go to a restaurant and the dog can come with you and sit on the patio.
We have that. We have so much of that down here. We love it.
You know, I'm always surprised at all the places where you can take your dog. And so, you know, even our local AAA baseball team here in Akron, the Rubber Ducks, they have a special day, a Perros Caliente day. So once a week, you can take your dog to the ball game. You know, isn't that great?
I love that.
And you can chill out or whatever. I mean, I love that. Like the fact that you can even do that. So, I mean, looking for those fun kind of places to take your dog, you know, especially again, keeping in mind what your dog really likes or doesn't like is really kind of fun, right? Be sure you know the rules and what you're supposed to do and not do. That's always really important so that you can kind of help your dog and you to have a good experience. And I always remind everybody, don't forget to bring some snacks and some water along for your bestie to make sure that they're well cared for while you're out and about, you know, enjoying some of those things. I'm always about taking a hike or taking a walk. You know, what about a new place? Find some time to spend together, you know, exploring something outdoors, you know, and kind of looking for a new park. I'm always amazed at all of the new parks that are opening up and the dog parks that are opening up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, being able to kind of get out and again, enjoy the weather while we still can, while it's still, you know, nice and warm, especially here in the Northeast, it's really a good time to be able to do that. And, you know, if you like being outdoors, but don't feel like taking a hike, or maybe you want to like take a hike to somewhere really cool to have a picnic, that would be kind of fun.
That's a great idea.
Pack a picnic. Like maybe you'll celebrate like your favorite park with the people and the other dogs in your life. Like you could even ask a few friends along that have their dogs, right? And you could have like a whole picnic where everybody brings some food for themselves and make sure, of course, you got to bring some goodies for your dogs and some water. And then you could just like relax, you know, put out the picnic blanket and kind of and relax and kind of spend some time together, obviously in the shade, so you make sure you're not going to get burned or your dog doesn't get burned.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a pink dog. But I think that those are really important and just fun things to do, right? That are just a little bit different. If you're like our doggy diva girls, right? Like your girls, Sue, ask mom for a new outfit. So, you know, find a new outfit for your dog. It could be, you know, could be something in their favorite color or your favorite color. It could be a dress. It could be as simple as a hat, right? Or maybe, you know, if you have a boy dog and maybe a dress would be inappropriate, then you could always get, you know, a cute scarf. You know, something to take it up a notch, make your little friend feel special. I mean, Sue, I see your girls and they love being dressed up.
They do. I have to tell you, some of them love the dresses. Some of them love those pretty harnesses. My new thing is I'm finding harnesses with daisies on them for Daisy. So, and I post them on Facebook. I just think they're so cute. And then, you know, like Coco likes a good bandana. And then, you know, so they're all into it. They just have their, you know, I know which one likes what. So Sassy and Fawn love dresses. And Daisy, she just loves the girly girl harnesses. And of course, Coco's my bandana girl. But yeah, it is. It's in fact, I just got Daisy a new harness the other day. So it's actually hanging on its little doggy hanger. It's like little baby hangers. It's hanging up in her closet.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, and I think, you know, the other thing that, you know, you could do is, you know, maybe you're really crafty or great sewer. You could always make something like, again, just a simple bandana.
Yeah.
Fun that, you know, you did for them. And I know that they'll appreciate you for it. They'll feel special when they're wearing it. So that's
always. Yes.
And, you know, one of my favorite things to do is, you know, I am like a puzzle girl. And so I love thinking about like, if your dog loves challenges and looking for things and finding things or whatever, I'm a big interactive fan for smart toys for your dog.
No, you are, Kim, you are. You've opened my eyes to a lot of things that were out there.
Yeah, I love it. Like those self-rolling balls or those hide-and-seek toys, you know, where you can like hide some treats in them and then they have to like move them over or push them or whatever to get in there. We've talked about snuffle mats before,
yes.
I think. You know, like those felt mats. You could, like, again, if you're handy or whatever, you could buy one where you can hide the treats in them and then they could kind of snuffle through and be able to find them. And, you know, there's like balls, not just a regular ball, but like almost like looking like a little soccer ball or something with some tabs on it. And then they can kind of, you know, they're fetching in a different way, not just
they grab them. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are always fun. But, you know, I'm right now, I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know if we've ever talked about this. I am fascinated by those talking dog buttons. Have you seen those?
Yes, I have heard. You and I haven't talked about it, but I have heard about them. They are fascinating.
I love it. I'm like, I don't know if I would want that because, like, would they be telling me all the time what to do? But I love it, the fact that they could tell me. I totally believe that they could.
No, I have a household going, okay, wait a minute. You have dinner time at this time. We voted. We're moving it to this time.
Well, and I love it because I want to say on my Instagram, there's Kenny. And Kenny is, I think, the dog.
Yes.
And Kenny wants, you know, water. Kenny wants treats. It's adorable. Like, I just want to hug him. So I think it's really kind of cool. I mean, you know, if you have a smart dog, I mean, so many dogs are so smart and we probably don't even know how smart they are all the time. And I think it would be really cool, even if you just taught them a couple words. You know, I know that my dog used to ring the bell to go outside.
That's and what he, mine do in the back door. Yeah.
Yeah. They have, yeah.
So they know to hit it and we know it's time.
Yeah, and Blizzard had also had a, he had like a little bell like on the top of a hotel desk. And so he had one on the end table in our family room and one by the door. And so he would just literally just put his paws up on the end table and then just ding, hit the...
Oh, yeah, I love that.
And I loved it or whatever. And he never abused it or anything, but I just thought it was so great. So I just think that the talking thing or, you know, again, teaching them how to ring the bell to go outside, those could be some really fun things to do for Dog Month to make them, you know, be able to do that. And while you're doing all this fun stuff with them, don't forget to take pictures. I mean, you can just never have enough pictures. I mean, I feel like with my phone these days, there's no reason why I shouldn't take 100 pictures and then just, you know, get it down to 3 that are good.
That's the story of my life.
Yeah.
I mean, I have the phone on me at all times because I never know when I'm going to catch that moment.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's surgically attached to me, but not for me to talk on or to read texts or emails. Those are like second to, okay, I got the perfect moment. They're sleeping in their bed, or I got the perfect moment. She's looking at me while we're walking. You know, it's like all of that stuff. And I love it.
Yes. And that you could capture it or whatever so quickly, yep. You know, and have it forever. So I think that that's always really good. And it doesn't also have to be anything special. Sit on the floor, cuddle, get down on their eye level. You know, I mean, just love them. I mean, I'm sure your dog loves to be scratched and stroked or whatever. So make some more time to be on the floor or to share that love that you have. You know, that petting your dog helps you to bond. You know, certainly we all feel that, right, whenever we do that. But it also can be a sense of comfort and feel really good to your dog if it's how they like to be petted, right, or scratched. So we always think about, oh, we like to pet them. But no, they like to get petted too. So it's kind of a two-way street where it helps reduce their anxiety and their stress. And it releases that love hormone, right, oxytocin.
Yes.
And you know, for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
So really that is just, it really does help you feel good, right? So, you know, being able to help them feel good and help yourself feel good, like who doesn't need a little more love in their life, right?
I know, especially that unconditional love.
Yes.
That these pups give us. And you know what else, Kim? I just wanted to say, and only for me, because I have a houseload of dogs, I like to have August be there. They all get their annuals in August. So I keep everything so that the checkups are all in the same month, National Dog Month, National Year Dog Month, that month, because I look at it like this. Healthy pups, happy pups.
Yes.
Happy mom.
That's a really great idea, Sue. I mean, I really like being able to do that, especially if you have more than one. It's great to have them all in the same month so you can just kind of, you know, have it all in the same place so you don't forget.
Yes.
And it really can't, I mean... You know, working with a vet, you know, they're going to help you find out what's maybe going on before it really happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, doing that preventative work and, you know, getting some extra blood
so
work, especially with senior dogs, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And I go through it, you know, I'm blessed. I've been seeing the same vet for 20 something years but she is so good and she's so thorough and I'm very blessed to have her. And also if you do have the opportunity to see the same vet or the same vet practice, they know your dogs. And if you're going there every year, they know what to expect. They know what happened the last time you were there, or they know they're a little anxious. Like I have two that are very, very anxious. So they put them in a separate room where it's quiet and they're away from other dogs. It's a big practice. But they know ahead of time, oh, okay, you know, Sassy's coming or Fawn's coming. Okay, we're going to have such and such a room put aside for them and it's quieter. And then we don't even have to wait in the waiting room. They take us right away.
Wow.
They get very, very anxious with the other dogs. Yeah, the Coco and Daisy are fine. But, you know, Fawn, she's almost 15. So she has, you know, some issues. And then Spassky just gets a little anxious around other pups. But if you go to the same vet, if you have that same annual every year, they're going to remember what your pets are like and what their personality traits are. And it helps a lot. It's helped me with my multitude that I
have. Yeah, well, absolutely. It's definitely helped me too with my dogs, right? That, you know, just knowing how they're doing, looking at it year over year, right, at about the same time. So you're kind of seeing if anything's trending or changing, and, you know, and you can talk to your vet. So having that relationship with a vet you trust is really, really important. And, you know, talk to your friends. If you don't feel like you have a vet that that you're like driving with and that really are on the same page, talk to your friends. And, you know, if you do change vets, ask them to move your, you know, take your files with you, or, you know, be able to get a copy or whatever for the new vet to be able to have some history on them as well. So it's always good to be able to see your veterinarian on a regular basis, only, you know, when you don't necessarily need them even, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to tell you, I've moved, you know, a few times since we've been down here, and they were where we originally were. I drive quite a ways to get to it, but it's absolutely worth it. It's for, you know, not only my peace of mind, but I know that the girls are comfortable going there too. So, I mean, there's a lot to invest. And it's National Dog Month. You want to make sure your dogs are happy. And
you want you to be around for as long as you can, right?
So
you've got to do those things, right? Those are really important things to both you and to them.
Well, Kim, I just want to thank you so much for sharing such valuable, educational, and fun advice for pet parents and potential pet parents if they're looking to adopt, because these are very important days and very important month, National Dog Month, Spoil Your Dog Day, which is on August 10th, and the very meaningful and very impactful Clear the Shelters Month. So I thank you for bringing all this information. This was really fun. And I hope that the listeners get a chance to visit a shelter, talk to a rescue. Maybe you want to do a little fostering, maybe donating, maybe go on their wish list and surprise them with either treats, toys, beds, whatever it is that they need. It's all needed. And what better time to do it than in National Dog Month? So thank you very much.
Thank you, Sue.
And we will be back in just a moment.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.